mouth, meditation, my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because something I read or really grabs my attention scripturally, it's hard for me to get away from it. The things that fascinate me are the things that motivate me. And something I shared yesterday that fascinated me when the Lord spoke it to me. And I wanted to kind of reiterate a truth today and expand it a little bit. And that is, if we look at the book of Joshua as a type of the resurrection life that we're called to live in Christ. I was reading an old book by a man who wrote it 130 years ago, really influential person in the body of Christ around the world. It's a little book called In Christ, and he just talks about that being the most important phrase in human history, because it just declares so plainly God's solution to broken and fallen humanity, to your and my whatever broken condition or situation we're dealing with in our own lives, all fallenness. And that the book of Joshua, though a true story, is also a type of, in the land of Canaan, the type of the Spirit-filled life. And the Spirit-filled life, or the life of victory in Christ, is the one we're in union with, is not just Christ, but the risen Christ. And so it's this great practical book about walking out your union with the resurrected Jesus, living by the power of his resurrection. And the first battle that they fought, having crossed over the Jordan, was Jericho, which all of us, if you grew up in church at all, this song, The Battle of Jericho, probably rings in your ears. There were a couple of things that I saw that I talked about yesterday, and I've taught this in conferences, I've taught it in church and other Bible study settings for 40 years. That's one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is such an excellent teacher. When we're in the Word, he'll say something he's said to you a thousand times, and he'll say it in such fresh ways, you're like going, wow, I've never really seen that before. Because there's the riches of Christ are unsearchable. You never stop discovering. And when the Battle of Jericho happened, the two things that fascinated me the most that I shared about yesterday and I want to just reiterate today is that when they'd come to Gilgal, there'd been the circumcision, they celebrated the first Eucharist in the land, or the first Passover in the land, which is our Eucharist, that which is a celebration of all that you have in the salvation of God. And for us, every Eucharist is a celebration of all that's ours in the risen Christ. Who we are is new creation. That's why it's so wonderful. It's not just a celebration. It's expansion. It causes expansion of our experience of that. We encounter it as a reality. And they're facing Jericho, and it says the captain of the host of the Lord comes with a sword drawn. And when Joshua sees him, he asks the question, are you for us, or are you for our adversaries? And he said to him in verse 14 of chapter 5, no, indeed, I come now as captain of the Lord of hosts. Joshua fell on his face before him. He bowed down. He says, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, the first thing he said to him, in light of this battle they're about to fight, is that remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, there are other things that we saw yesterday that I really don't have time to talk about. There's just this one and one more that's just so relevant to me. It's so challenging to me, but challenging in that, like, challenging that at the end of the challenge is this extraordinary expansion of your own experience of abiding in the risen Christ. You with me? And I guess we're always going after that. I trust that we are. That we're never, though we're content in him, we're never content of all that we're experiencing of him. The first thing he told him was very practical. And he says, take off the sandals of your shoes because the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And I thought about, like, Psalm 95 talks about this. I forget if it was the Numbers account or the Leviticus account. I think it's Numbers 20. When Moses was told by God, if you put all those accounts together, he told him, speak to the rock and strike it, and a river of water will flow out for the people. But Moses spoke to the rock and struck it twice. And after he did, the Lord rebukes him. And he said, because you have treated me as unholy in the sight of your people, you will not enter the land. And I remember years ago when I first saw that, I thought, man, it just seems so unfair. But what was he trying to say to Moses? He was trying to say to Moses, I didn't need your help. I told you to speak to the rock, strike it once, and it didn't help me out by striking it twice. That's an expression of control, anxiety, frustration. Y'all understand what I mean? You ever struck the rock twice? I don't know about you, but I've worn rocks out. Finding myself in situations and circumstances, and I just keep like, okay, are we there yet? Are we there? Okay, God. Trying to help, worrying about it. That's striking the rock. Ezekiel talks about it. Anything that makes you sweat, don't wear wool, spiritual sweat. And because it was unbelief, he was saying, Joshua, I didn't need your help. I just needed you to follow my directions. But because you thought I needed help, you treated me as unholy. I'm not like you. I'm not like anybody else. I don't need your help. And I believe that what he was saying to Joshua is, take off your shoes. This is holy. If you'll give it to me, then you can be assured, as I mentioned yesterday, that I'll make this battle a holy one. If you'll give it to me. If you'll take off your shoes, acknowledging that it doesn't belong to you, that it now belongs to me. Because that's one of the meanings of taking off your shoes in Scripture. It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to me. And you're acknowledging that it's in my hands, therefore it's holy, and I don't need your help. This is powerful. And then the other thing, or a couple of the things, but the other thing that sort of connects the dots to me so much so, is that, well, what he reminds Joshua, look, what you see is a tightly shut city. I say to you, do you see that I've already given it to you? So understand that I'm the one who's now, the battle's mine. It's holy. As long as it's mine, it's holy. If you keep taking it back, you're treating me as unholy, as if I need your help. I don't need your worry. I don't need your anxiety. I don't need your fear. I don't need your control. I don't need your frustration. Because if you just knew how I see this, you could be at rest. If something's already happened, you don't have to be anxious about it. I've already given it to you. So just be at rest. Enter into my rest. I'll tell you how I see this situation. It's already done. So enter into my rest. I'm at total peace about this. And then he told Joshua, the most interesting thing to me was when he told them to walk around the walled city six days in a row, and then to walk it around seven times on the seventh day, he told them that you're not to say a word. Nobody to say a word. That entire army is to stay speechless. That's a miracle there, right? And he said, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. Trumpets are going to be sounding. Trumpets announce the presence and the victory of the Lord. And every day, the whole time you're walking around those 2 miles and 14 miles, the sounds of victory are going to be happening. But you're not to say a word. That's just such a holy, wonderful, glorious challenge to go, Chuck, you're in a situation. You're in Christ. He's your life. He's telling his story through you in resurrection power. If he can conquer death, he probably can handle this. As a matter of fact, from his perspective, it's already done. You may not know how it's all going to look when it's done. It's not your business. It's his story. It's his life. Here's the deal. Take your shoes off. Acknowledge that it's my problem, not yours. And I'll treat it as holy because I got it. Whatever belongs to me is holy. And I tell you what, just keep your mouth shut. In terms of what? The complaining, the advising God, the fretting. Listen, and I'm confessing to you as a person on this journey going, oh my gosh, because I bleed out of my mouth. I'm walking through stuff. I want to talk through it, you know, all the time. But I'm not condemning people to talk. you need to talk with your friends, that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you what he said here is that act like you trust me. And what I need to hear from you are the sounds of victory, even though you don't see the victory yet. Because in that process, I'm arranging and doing things in the enemy's camp that's going to cause the destruction to be greater than you could have ever imagined. Now think about this. What cost them so much? In the wilderness, they walked around the wilderness again and again, we're told, murmuring and complaining. That's part of what wilderness living's all about. It's the opposite of the sounds of victory. Let me read this one verse. I think it's a couple of verses. For God is at work, who is at work in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, do all things without complaining and grumbling and disputing. That you may manifest yourselves, be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights to the world. I love that whole idea that says, walk, the battle's mine, it's holy. Remember how I see it's different than what you can see with your physical eyes. And this, don't let the sounds of complaining and worry and anxiety, fear, control. The Lord gave me a word. I think I shared this. I don't know if I did. prophetically, it may not make total sense. I know that God didn't send coronavirus, but I know that God's in control. He's working his plan. The Lord gave me a word. He said, Chuck, I had to put Adam into a deep sleep to create Eve because I didn't need his advice. And so what the enemies tried to do to destroy, God used to put his church kind of into a deep sleep so he can do some things while the church has been kept silent for a while. God's doing some stuff. I just think that this word is so powerful. There's a place in Ephesians chapter 5 says, giving thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, giving thanks in all things. And I believe that's what he's saying, that between giving me the issue and then seeing the manifestation of the victory, whatever that's going to look like, I said, what I need to hear from you is just thanks and praise, just the sound of the trumpet, not the grumbling and the complaining. And for me, it's been like, wow, Chuck, take that out for a spin. It's like God saying, I dare you, Chuck, whatever you might be walking through, take that out for a spin and see if that kind of trash talking the enemy doesn't manifest a greater victory than you ever imagined. I mean, I'm not talking to the enemy. I'm just giving thanks and praise. You hear me? I just believe that's another place that God's calling us to in our walk, is that treat it like holy. Don't strike the rock. Don't open your mouth in worry and fear and complaining. Don't let your emotions control you. Why not just take it out for a spin and just let the sounds of victory come out of your mouth only? Because you know the one who is the captain of the Lord's host has got it. It's holy to him. He doesn't mistreat holy things. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.